Four eyes were reading the passage. I was running the head of my pencil case along the line as I read it, and something caused me to raise my eyes. Directly before me was one of the mirrors I have mentioned, in which I saw reflected the tall shape of my friend, Mr. Jennings, leaning over my shoulder and reading the page at which I was busy, and with a face so dark and wild that I should hardly have known him. I turned and rose. He stood erect also, and with an effort laughed a little, saying, "I came in and asked how you did, but without succeeding in awakening you from your book, so I could not restrain my curiosity, and very impertinently, I am afraid, peeped over your shoulder. This is not your first time of looking into those pages. You have looked into Swedenborg, no doubt, long ago." "Oh dear, yes, I owe Swedenborg a great deal. You will discover traces of him in the little book on metaphysical medicine which you were so good as to remember." Although my friend affected a gaiety of manner, there was a slight flush in his face, and I could perceive that he was inwardly much perturbed. "I'm scarcely yet qualified. I know so little of Swedenborg. I've only had them a fortnight," he answered, "and I think they are rather likely to make a solitary man nervous. That is, judging from the very little I have read. I don't say they have made me so," he laughed, "and I'm so very much obliged for the book. I hope you got my note." I made all proper acknowledgments and modest disclaimers. "I never read a book that I go with so entirely as that of yours," he continued. "I saw at once that there is more in it than is quite unfolded. Do you know Dr. Harley?" he asked rather abruptly. In passing, the editor remarks that the physician here named was one of the most eminent who had ever practised in England. "I did, having exchanged letters with him and experienced from him great courtesy and considerable assistance during my visits to England." "I think that the man one of the greatest fools I ever met in my life," said Mr. Jennings. This was the first time I had ever heard him say a sharp thing of anybody, and such a term applied to so high a name a little startled me. "Really? And in what way?" I asked. "In his profession," he answered. I smiled. "I mean this," he said. "He seems to me one half blind. I mean, one half of all he looks at is dark, preternaturally bright and vivid all the rest, and the worst of it is, it seems wilful. I can't get him. I mean, he won't. I've had some experience of him as a physician, but I look on him as, in that sense, no better than a paralytic mind, an intellect half dead. I'll tell you, I know I shall sometime, all about it," he said, with a little agitation. "You stay some months longer in England. If I should be out of town during your stay for a little time, would you allow me to trouble you with a letter?" "I should be only too happy," I assured him. "Very good of you. I'm so utterly dissatisfied with Harley." "A little leaning to the materialistic school," I said. "A mere materialist," he corrected me. "You can't think how that sort of thing worries one who knows better. You won't tell anyone, any of my friends, you know, that I am hippish now, for instance. No one knows, not even Lady Mary, that I've seen Dr. Harley, or any other doctor, so pray don't mention it. And if I should have any threatening of attack, you'll kindly let me write, or, should I be in town, have a little talk with you." I was full of conjecture, and unconsciously I found I had fixed my eyes gravely on him, for he lowered his for a moment, and he said, "I see you think I might as well tell you now, or else you are forming a conjecture, but you may as well give it up. If you were guessing all the rest of your life, you would never hit on it." He shook his head, smiling, and over that wintry sunshine a black cloud suddenly came down, and he drew his breath in, through his teeth, as men do in pain. "Sorry, of course, to learn that you apprehend occasion to consult any of us, but command me when and how you like, and I need not assure you that your confidence is sacred." He then talked of quite other things, and in a comparatively cheerful way, and after a little time I took my leave.